This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon and welcome to the Daily Digest on the Bigger Picture. I'm T. Xiao Ik. In the studio with me today, Lim Soo Ann and Kelly Anisa. And we have two stories for you as always. And first up is...
So the ILO adopted a global treaty last Friday to improve protections for workers facing violence and harassment. But it was also reported that representatives of the Malaysian government abstained from voting. So what does this say about Malaysia?
And continuing the theme of harassment, how do you teach your child about what is safe or acceptable when it comes to being touched? So the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development yesterday launched a YouTube ad campaign on what are safe touches for children. But we'll be looking at how useful are videos like this for parents who want to teach their children about this.
Yep. So on that note, we're asking you on Twitter, when do you think it is appropriate to speak to children about safe and unsafe touch? Your options are kindergarten, primary school, it's up to the schools, or we don't speak about it. So you can join the conversation by tweeting us at BFM Radio, WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-77-33-2900.
Meanwhile, here's Sam Cooke first with A Change Is Gonna Come.
The Bigger Picture on BFM 89.9, the business station.
That was Sam Cooke with A Change Is Gonna Come. And on to our first story.
Yeah, so the International Labour Organization, or more commonly known as the ILO, they adopted a new global treaty against violence and harassment in the workplace just recently on the 21st of June. So the ILO committee that discussed it voted on this convention was made up of representatives from governments, employers and workers as well. And so the voting was overwhelmingly in favour of the treaty, with 439 representatives voting for it out of the 476.
Right.
So it was hailed as a groundbreaking instrument by human rights groups, because this treaty aims to set standards when it comes to addressing the rights of workers to be free from violence and harassment. And it also sets to provide an integrated, inclusive and gender responsive approach when it comes to preventing and eliminating violence and harassment at work.
Yeah, so discussions on this convention began in 2015 and was further fueled by the Me Too movement, which emerged in 2017. So this treaty covers both the formal and informal sectors, you know, from workers, trainees, workers whose employment has been terminated and even job seekers. And it also accounts for violence and harassment involving third parties such as clients, customers or even service providers.
Okay.
So it's all encompassing.
Yep.
And so not only that, it also recognises that, you know, problems like these can happen beyond the physical workplace, and it covers different places such as work-related trips, training, social activities and commutes.
Oh, even commutes.
Yes.
Yeah. So recognising the different settings where work-related interactions will potentially take place. Yeah. So significantly, governments that ratify this treaty will be required to introduce national laws to prohibit workplace violence and to also take preventive measures such as information campaigns and to have in-house workplace policies. And they also have to ensure that there are remedies available as well as protection for victims or whistleblowers from retaliation.
Yes. So while this convention has been largely welcomed, we also had less welcome news of representatives of Malaysia's government abstaining from voting on the convention.
Yes.
And we were only, you know, one of six governments who abstained from voting, which the other five being Russia, El Salvador, Paraguay, Kyrgyzstan and Singapore.
Right.
So to make matters look even worse, the Malaysian employers' representatives also voted against the treaty.
Yeah, and so before this treaty, we didn't really have any international standards that specifically addressed the problem of violence and harassment, especially in the world of work. So according to a World Bank report in 2018, they found that 59 out of the 189 countries that that was studied had no specific legal provisions that covered sexual harassment in the workplace. Yeah, and so just from that, just wanting to take a more local perspective when it comes to Malaysians' laws, we don't have anything that is particularly specific to address violence and harassment in the workplace, but they are covered somewhat under the Employment Act and also the Penal Code.
Yeah.
So the Employment Act addresses sexual harassment at the workplace. So under the Act, the employer is obligated to address any complaints of harassment and can be fined up to 10,000 ringgit if they don't act on it. But there are no criminal penalties for the person accused, even if it found that harassment has taken place. And there are no civil remedies provided for the person who complains.
Right. So it's a very weak law, essentially, when it comes to protection for victims of harassment.
Yeah, so the Penal Code also addresses harassment under Section 509, which relates to any, quote-unquote, word or gesture intended to insult the modesty of a person. So, and in this case, if a person is found guilty, they can, you know, they can be punished with imprisonment or even a fine. But this is still a far cry from a specific measure to address harassment itself and violence for workers.
Yeah, because that kind of wording, insult the modesty of a person, is too vague and general. Quite often leaves too many loopholes. So we have seen some possibilities of change relatively recently with the Public Service Department issuing new guidelines last December on the handling of sexual harassment cases at the workplace, and also with the proposal of a sexual harassment bill by the Ministry of Women, Family and Community Development. But, you know, guidelines and the proposed bill, it's just that it's still very much in the proposal stage. Guidelines, how effective are those going to be? We're still waiting for the bill to be tabled. And now, you know, with news that representatives of our government have abstained from voting for this international convention, what's holding us accountable when it comes to pushing for these laws and policies that could potentially make real and effective change?
Yeah, so I wanted to get a more local perspective on what this all means and how does that reflect on Malaysia's standing. So I spoke to Mira Samantha, the Vice President of the Association of Women Lawyers, to get her take on this. Why was it so significant that we now have a treaty at the international level to address issues such as violence and harassment in the workplace?
Incidents of harassment and violence in the workplace are rampant, and there are insufficient mechanisms in place to protect the survivor. So as a result of globalization, there's an incredible amount of movement of workers between countries. And, you know, there's substantial numbers of migrant workers we have in Malaysia today. So with this global workforce, it is important that we set standards at an international level to address violence and harassment so that workers have protection wherever they go. But it is also just as important for workers who are employed in their own home countries, like Malaysia. So by having this international standard on measures, then the government must address and prevent violence and harassment in the workplace. And what does that mean? This means that the government will have to start to shift and put required laws and mechanisms in place. You know, this is really important. It's critically important for those who are working in the informal sector, as they, you know, they are often left entirely out of protection of employment laws. So actually, the hashtag MeToo movement has brought much attention to the public arena, and I think that has pushed a lot of governments worldwide to rethink their commitment to keeping workers safe, and I think to put standards in place.
And were there other aspects of the convention that you found were particularly significant?
Yes, actually, in addition to the focus on workplace violence, the convention also set standards for how governments should mitigate the effects of domestic violence in the workplace. They can do this by having flexible working arrangements and providing leave for domestic violence survivors. So that is also an added focus by the convention.
So going back to the convention, we saw our Women, Family and Community Development Deputy Minister, Hannah Yeo. So she said that she said multiple times that they are in the process of drawing up a sexual harassment bill. But then we see Malaysia's representatives actually abstaining from voting for the ILO treaty. Does that give a contradictory stance when it comes to the issue of violence and harassment in the workplace?
Actually, it certainly does give that contradictory stand, and we Malaysian citizens would want a response from the government as to why they did that. I mean, it is really confusing to many of us. they should have at least, the very least, signed on or committed to it, and then give themselves some time to have the sexual harassment bill drafted and tabled.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, we do know that there are strong, very strong lobby groups out there, such as the Malaysian Employers Federation, who are certainly against the sexual harassment bill. In fact, they had recently issued a statement on the economic cost involved if a sexual harassment bill is implemented. Actually, in reality, the government and employees will incur more economic costs by not proactively addressing sexual harassment and other forms of violence in the workplace, because these things result in loss of productivity, legal costs, medical costs, such as for the survivors seeking counselling services. And in fact, it goes even further. If the survivors themselves are public servants, the government will directly incur costs for all these services.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a bit mind-boggling why he abstained.
Mm-hmm. And considering that this is at an international committee, how will this impact upon our standing perhaps at the international stage, considering that only six countries, representatives from six countries abstained from voting?
It's an absolute shame. Absolute shame. Malaysia, being one of the small minority of countries who abstained, this means that we are one of the few countries who refuses to commit to addressing and preventing violence in the workplace. And this reflects extremely poor on us. Actually, at some point, being a country that implicitly condones or at least fails to act on violence against workers may even have some economic repercussions too. Because, you know, some international companies may rethink of basing their operations elsewhere rather than in Malaysia because their workers are not protected.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps individual workers, expats, may choose to work elsewhere. So it really shook poorly on Malaysia, and it's embarrassing.
And I think along those lines, we saw a lot of response on social media, how people were quite shocked that Malaysia voted at the committee. Does that signify a greater awareness among the Malaysian public about how we need to take action on this?
Actually, sexual harassment and violence in the workplace has been prominent both on the international stage and in Malaysia with the hashtag MeToo movement. I mean, with the recent cases that we've had on sexual harassment, the public is definitely much more aware of this issue, and there is a lot of discourse on it. Every day we hear about it on Facebook, we read about it, our friends tell us in every industry. The idea that the government does not want to commit to something as basic as protecting workers, despite all the stories and experiences that have been brought to light by the hashtag MeToo movement here in Malaysia, and the many stories and experiences of many Malaysian women, is really shameful. And many Malaysians realize this, and they want to ask the government why. Why has the government let us down? As they have made a declaration to the world that sexual harassment and violence in the workplace is not relevant or important. So my question is, why? Can I have a response? The very least they could have done is commit and say they're working on it. That's the very least they could have done.
That was Meera Samantha, the Vice President of the Association of Women Lawyers. So I think overall...
Very strong response from her, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I think because overall this sends a lot of mixed signals to people.
It does, yes.
You have, you have news coming out that saying that the ministry is thinking to introduce a sexual harassment bill, but mm-hmm. then you have this news from the ILO that the representatives have abstained from at least agreeing to it.
Mm. So, and also silence currently from the government representatives as to why they abstained mm-hmm. and how is the government planning to move forward with this? How is it going to affect our standing and our approach towards our national policies and laws if we don't seem to want to be included at the international discussion, right?
Yeah, yeah. And I think we've seen a lot of discussion generated, especially on social media, with a lot of people talking about this. I've mm-hmm. seen a lot on Twitter. Mm. And I think with people asking these questions, hopefully we will get some answers or at least at least
just
get,
have that conversation out there. Yeah. And sometimes, you know, we just need to force the hand on this kind of thing, right? Yes. Yeah.
And hopefully with more people talking about it, we can you know, spread awareness to other people about why is it important to have something like this, especially at the international level.
And so this voting is largely symbolic. The convention still needs two countries to ratify it before it goes into effect a year later. And so even if Malaysia had voted for it, there's still the whole process of legislating it into national law. So this is this part, the voting part, is very much the primary process. So we'll be keeping an eye on this, I think, to see what's happening or if there's any response from the Malaysian government about our stand on it. Before we go for a quick break, let's visit the Twitter question that we have for our second story.
Yes, we're asking you, when do you think it is appropriate to speak to children about safe and unsafe touch? So your options are kindergarten, primary school, it's up to the schools, or we don't speak about them much. So you can tweet us any thoughts that you have at BFM Radio. You can WhatsApp us at 018-789-8899, or you can also call us at 03-7733-2900.
So we'll go for a quick break now, but first, here's Interpol with Everything Is Wrong, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.